quick Scott's bummed about the humidor. And pick your milk for breakfast cereal, Mount Rushmore. They'll be there for you. There's a non-zero chance. They'll be there for you. Help you with lead dominance. They'll be there for you. And read some emails too.
Hey, welcome to the Wednesday show, everybody. What's going on? Adam Azer here with Scott White on Fantasy Baseball Today. Coming at you a little bit later than usual. Do apologize, but get this out as soon as we can. What's going on, Scott?
It's that time of year, isn't it? Baseball takes a backseat for football.
It is sort of that time of year, yeah. So we're going to start doing these podcasts later. Hopefully not that much later. Hopefully only maybe like an hour and a half later in the day. So not like afternoon or anything like that. But that is going to happen. It's my least favorite thing every year, and I always am very sorry. And I am very sorry. I hate it for the baseball listeners. Just cold, hard facts. We have so many football listeners right now. It's the heart of football, fantasy football season, and we sort of have to prioritize that. But we're going to do our best to get these out as early as we can.
What we really need to do is clone you and build a new studio, and then we'd be in great shape.
Have you seen Multiplicity?
Is that the one with, I'm forgetting the actor's name now.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton?
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Multiplicity. We can do that.
We could.
Now, we have a shortened show today. It's going to be about 50 minutes. So let's talk about the standouts from Tuesday. The non-Acuna edition, because we will talk about Acuna in a little bit. Who's a Tuesday standout for you?
So I don't know that I'm ready to add him, because he's caught up in this whole... the opener situation that the Rays have going on. But Jalen Beeks, in his last three appearances, all in relief technically, but all five innings, he's been really good. 200 runs in five innings yesterday with eight strikeouts. It was his third straight with only two hits in five innings and double-digit swinging strikes in all three. His swinging strike percentage in those three relief appearances is 16%, which is elite. And it makes sense. I mean, he was one of the best strikeout pitchers in the minors when he got called up. It's why there was some enthusiasm when the Red Sox called him up a few months ago, but he was so bad early on. And I don't know, whatever magic the Rays applied to Tyler Glass, now they seem to have applied to Beeks as well. And if this leads to him transitioning back to a more traditional starting role, he could be an exciting pickup down the stretch.
We're going to hope he doesn't pitch at Boston this weekend. We're going to hope he rather faces Kansas City on Monday. But yeah, Beeks with eight strikeouts at the Yankees. He does have an 8.03 ERA on the season, but he's been much better since going to the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm not sure that you have the right Rays standout, Scott. Because I'm going to give you a name, and then I'm going to tell you this. I'll tell you this before I even give you the name. I hope he fails. You might want to go pick him up, but I hope he's terrible. Why? Because I put in a fab bid for him last night in a very important league, and I didn't get him. And the guy in first place, I'm in second place, first place guy, got this player. And I now hope that he does horribly and that doesn't get a hit the rest of the season. But I don't think that's going to happen for Willy Adames, who homered yesterday and had four steals in his previous four games. He is batting four. Yeah, that was what really caught my eye with Adames. He's batting .410 in August with three home runs, four steals, two doubles, three walks, and seven strikeouts. 31% owned Willy Adames.
We've seen the trick a few times now. Gleyber Torres fits this description, where the high-end prospect with modest home run totals in the minors comes to the majors and becomes a much better home run hitter immediately. And Adames seems to be fitting into that. But we don't see that with the stolen bases very often.
Right.
He was not known as a base stealer in the minors. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to count on those going forward, but it's, you know what I always say about stolen bases, Adam?
I do.
It's just a matter of how much you want them.
I want them on my team very badly, Scott. And I haven't found this
to you.
I haven't found this to be true. So Adames definitely a standout. I put in a bid for him and got outbid severely. I also put in a bid for Kevin Gausman, if not to keep, at least just to stream for his start this weekend against Miami. So if you can, I think it's this weekend, right? So if you can get him for just this week, you know, it might be not be a bad idea. And maybe beyond that for Kevin Gausman. Just thought I'd throw that out there. He's certainly not a standout. Would you drop Tim Anderson for Willy Adames? Tim Anderson, one steal since the All-Star break. He's been streaky with steals, I'll say that. So it's not like he's done, but he's been hitting so poorly. Would you drop Anderson for Adames?
I mean, Adames still has a 30% strikeout rate. It's been better recently. I think in standard roto leagues where steals are the higher, or there's the bigger scarcity there, probably I probably want it. Now, points leagues, yeah.
Okay, and Yolis Chacin is definitely a standout. He's 83% owned. He struck out 10 Cubs on 10 swinging strikes on 105 pitches. Not a very good percentage. And he's got a 3.72 ERA, 12 wins, 2 starts this year for Chacin with 8 earned runs. That has inflated his ERA, but he's mostly been good. And we mostly don't buy it, I think. But what about now with Chacin?
I mean, we're to a point in the season now where it's like, yes, I don't see how he's performing at this level given the underlying stats, but at the same time, why do I think the next start's going to be the start where it all falls apart? And which isn't to say, I mean, even good Chacin hasn't been must start level. But I'm fine with him as a streamer.
2 starts next week, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Cincinnati not hitting very well.
I think you gotta stream him in the 2-start week. Yeah. Especially pretty good matchups there.
He's 83% owned, so we'll just say you got to start him.
Yeah.
It's just when we seem stubborn on a player like this, kind of like what we were with Nick Pivetta, where I think mostly Chris, but probably everybody, not necessarily me, but the three analysts saying Pivetta's good. Well, his last 3 starts, he's got 19 strikeouts and 2 walks, 3 earned runs over 18 innings. He just pitched well against Boston yesterday. You know, ERA.
I mean, Matt Carpenter is the biggest example, right? Because that was years, felt like years in the making. It was over a year where it's like, it should be a lot better than this.
Sure.
And then he finally was. So we're in year 2 of Chacin basically performing this same trick, but it's still.
But last
year. I'm still not going to rank him at face value next year, going into next year, that's for sure.
Well, the thing is, last year he was only at home when he was with San Diego. It made sense. Now he's with Milwaukee. It made sense to say, oh, he's going to be bad. He's having a good year, so good for Chacin. Scott, here's a segment called Caught My Eye. Caught is in quotes. Caught My Eye. Danny Jansen homered, and Taylor Ward went 2-for-3 with an RBI double and a walk. These two
I see what you did there.
Catcher-eligible players caught my eye and did well yesterday. Now, we did talk about them yesterday when you weren't on. I would like for you to give your opinions on Blue Jays catcher Danny Jansen and Angels infielder who's catcher eligible Taylor Ward.
The one I want is Taylor Ward because it seems like they've called him up to be their primary third baseman. I don't know if he'll play quite every day, but it should be pretty close. He hit like 350 between 2 minor league stops this year with an OPS near 1,000. And you know, a lot of that was in the PCL, but Slash line was just as good at double A too. So it wasn't, I don't think it was a hitter environment situation. He's interesting because he was regarded as a good defensive catcher and yet they moved him off catcher to third base because they thought it would get more out of his bat, keep him fresher, take better advantage of the athleticism. And it couldn't have worked out any better. It was kind of a head scratcher decision. But man, has it worked out. Obviously a good debut for him. And if he's an everyday player as a catcher eligible player, he doesn't even have to be great with the bat to be top 12 at the position from this point forward, probably. And if he is great, could be top 5.
Would you rather have John Hicks or Taylor Ward?
John Hicks isn't healthy, and I don't know how long it's going to be before he's healthy. But regardless, I'd rather have Ward.
Would you rather have Taylor Ward or, well, I said Hedges yesterday, so that's boring. I'll stop going to him.
No more hedging.
Yeah, catcher is so annoying. Robinson Chirinos or Taylor Ward?
I do rank Chirinos ahead. But there's clearly more upside for Ward.
Okay.
Which isn't to say there's no upside for Jansen. I mean, he's pretty interesting himself. It's just, you know, he doesn't have the built-in advantages Ward has.
What is your gut feeling? I know you have to say the other guy over Taylor Ward, but your honest gut feeling, who do you think is going to be better down the stretch, Buster Posey or Taylor Ward?
My gut feeling's Posey.
Okay, yeah, me too. All right, so those guys caught my eye, LOL. Now, more standouts from yesterday, Scott. I think you got to be pretty confident starting them. Well, I'll get your opinion on that. But I'm wondering if we've got some studs on our hands. The next pitchers to break out, get into the next tier. And I've asked this before, but let's ask it again. Ramon Marquez and Nick Pivetta. Who do you like better? Who's got a brighter future? What are you seeing, Marquez and Pivetta?
Oh, man. It's like asking me to choose between children.
Oh. Well, you have.
I mean,
No.
Chris Towers has a stronger claim to
Pivetta. Wait, you have two kids right now. Who do you like better?
It honestly depends on the day.
Okay.
It really does. There isn't. I don't know. Maybe when their personalities develop a little more.
Scott, you're giving way too real of an answer here. This is a fake question. You're not allowed to like one of them more.
I was knowing my audience here. You're the one who always says parents actually do.
Oh, they do.
Like,
that's true.
Know.
Yeah, I'm third in my I have two siblings that my family my parents definitely like them just slightly better. Like, I'm still like a 99.9% on the like-o-meter, but they're both hundreds. My brother's probably 101. All right, so Marquez and Pivetta.
I think they're both really good. I'd want to own both. I think they're both definitely trending the right direction. There has been a clearer transformation, I guess, for Marquez, and the results have correlated to that in a clearer way. But obviously he has the Coors Field disadvantage, which is the biggest knock on either of them. They both have high swinging strike rates, at least Ramon does during this breakthrough. So I'm going to go with Pivetta, but Ramon is he was picked up in a lot of leagues for this two-star week. You obviously need to own him. I know his ownership's up now because of that, but obviously you're not dropping him after the two-star week. I don't care how his next start goes.
Yeah, I think the question is for Ramon, who apparently you're on first-name basis with, is do you feel comfortable starting him at home? And I do right now. His last two home starts have been great.
Yeah, because there was a home-away thing going on earlier, and I don't know exactly how it relates to kind of the mechanical adjustment he made. It's not even so much a mechanical adjustment, just being more consistent with his delivery and getting better results with the curveball as a result to that. And yeah, that seems to have translated to his home starts as well. So it'll always be riskier at home, but the kind of run he's on now, I don't think you worry too much about where he's pitching.
All right, news and notes. I got a lot of them, so sit tight, everybody. Take some notes. Get a pen and paper out. Trevor Bauer is on the DL with a small stress fracture in his right leg. Do we have a timetable for Bauer?
We don't, which is frustrating because obviously he's been one of the best 10 pitchers in baseball this year. So I would guess it measures in weeks, but is it 2 weeks? Is it 4 weeks? Is it 6 weeks? That makes a big difference at this stage of the season, especially.
Yeah. They're going to win the division, so they don't have to rush Bauer back. James Paxton's going to miss at least one start. He took a comebacker off the forearm. He has a bruised forearm. Felix Hernandez will likely rejoin the Seattle rotation. Robinson Cano started at first base yesterday. I guess we didn't really talk about it, but with Cano back, I mean, D. Gordon's still going to play. He'll play some center field. He'll play second base. But Ryan Healy, Kyle Seager maybe could lose some playing time, Scott, with Cano back?
Healy, I would say for sure. Yeah, and he hasn't had a very good year, so it would make sense. But yeah, Cano's supposed to play every day. That's the stance. I'm sure he'll get a day off here and there just because he's old and everybody gets days off, but he's you don't have to worry about his playing time.
Ryan Madsen's on the DL. Coda Glover is the temporary closer for the Nationals. What is your interest in Coda Glover? He's 8% owned.
My interest is at a higher level than his ownership percentage would suggest. And Adam, like, I don't know if you've taken inventory of the closer landscape lately, but it is dismal right now.
It's terrible. Yeah.
So just the fact that we know who's in line for saves in Washington is like a leg up over half the bullpens in baseball. Literally, I did a bullpen report Monday, and usually, you know, that's something I do every other week or so, and I just kind of look at the questionable closer situations. And usually there's like 6 to 8 at any given time. 16. There was 16 guys where I can't say for sure who's going to get the next save, or at least be getting saves a week or two from now for the team. That's more than half the league. And so, yeah, I mean, Coda Glover probably needs to be owned in any league where teams are using 3 closers, fantasy teams are, just for that reason.
Yeah, it could be short term. Hopefully it's short term for Washington. They could get Doolittle or Herrera back, but Glover, 8% owned. You know, he hasn't been very good in his career, really. And he just allowed a walk-off home run last time out. But yeah, closer's so bad that I wonder how much Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, and Craig Kimbrell are going to go for next year. You know, like, we do not have the same depth that we used to have at closer. And those guys are just unbelievable.
Edwin Diaz is among them now, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Edwin Diaz. Yeah.
Blake Treinen certainly has been this year. Now, part of me is hesitant to trust Treinen on that level again, but the numbers are what they are.
I mean, Scott, who was the number four closer? Was it number four? Who was the number four closer this year in ADP?
Number four this year was it Ken Giles?
I believe it was Corey Knebel.
Okay, yeah,
and
you're right.
Five may have been Giles, but he was up there. Kenley Jansen has a chance to return next week. He might beat his estimated timetable by a lot. Brandon Crawford likely to avoid the DL. Tommy Pham could be back this weekend for the Rays. Tyler O'Neill is back. He sat yesterday against a lefty. Now, you look at his splits. He's been much better against righties and terrible against lefties, but he is righty. He is a righty. Harrison Bader, meanwhile, I believe is better against lefties. I don't know if that's a platoon there, where Bader plays against lefties and O'Neill against righties. We will find out. But Jose Martinez has been starting every day in the outfield. Marcelo Zuna as well. Brian Dozier back in the lineup a day after he left with an elevated heart rate. George Springer expected to return Friday. Yasiel Puig and Nick Hundley got into a big fight. Brandon Morrow is making progress, but there's no timetable for his return. Yu Darvish could go on a rehab assignment soon. Adam Jones is going on the bereavement list and could miss up to 3 games. Steven Matz is expected to start at the Phillies tomorrow. He'll come off the DL and make that start. Are you going to start Steven Matz?
No.
Philadelphia called up Hector Neris. I'm assuming that doesn't matter. And Wilson Ramos could return today. George Springer should be back on Friday. There's still no timetable for Jose Altuve, but he's expected to start hitting soon. Michael Fulmer made a rehab start. I do believe Joey Votto was in the lineup yesterday. He was. Robinson Chirinos. Okay, yeah, Chirinos DH. This could be interesting. Beltre was out. We don't know if he's going on the DL, but there's a chance, obviously. Chirinos DH'd, Kiner Falefa caught, and Profar started at third base. So that could be good news for both Chirinos and Kiner Falefa if you need a catcher.
Kiner Falefa is, I think, in the top 12 in total fantasy points at the position this year, which says as much about the position as Kiner Falefa himself. But he's right behind Kurt Suzuki now.
Chirinos has an 895 OPS since the All-Star break. He's been very good. And Adalberto Mondesi stole 3 bases yesterday. He is 31% owned. That gives him 15 this season in 38 games. Would you rather own Malik Smith or Adalberto Mondesi?
Malik Smith. Pretty easily.
Yeah.
Though it's, obviously, this is the best we've seen from Adalberto in the majors so far.
Scott, it's time for a very tough question. And that's what we do on Fantasy Baseball Today. We ask Scott the tough questions. Is it time to sit Joey Votto?
No, it's not. It's not time to sit Joey Votto. He's actually, it's a stretch of 4 games where he's done. He's batting average is back up a little.
Well, he's playing hurt.
Yeah.
He's sort of in and out of the lineup, so that's going to be a factor. But Joey Votto is now the number 7 first baseman in points, which is wonderful. Number 22 in Roto. He has been bad against lefties all year. Over his last 28 days, he is the number 51 first baseman in points leagues. So part of that is missed time. Part of that is also a .274 batting average with a .323 slugging percentage.
What, over what stretch of time?
28 days.
Oof.
.439 on base.
In at first base, he's 50-something?
First. 51st.
Yeah, okay. And that stretch I was referring to wasn't as good as I was thinking. He walked in 5 straight games. That's probably what I was remembering.
Yeah. Yeah, he still walks. Like, in this stretch where he's the 51st best first baseman over 28 days, Votto has 17 walks to 17 strikeouts. But he has 2 or 3 extra base hits in their doubles. It's a bad year for Joey Votto. And with the injury, I'm less confident that he's just going to get crazy hot.
It's a bad year, and he's about to turn 35.
Right, but his OBP is unbelievable. His walk rate is incredible.
Sure. If the power isn't there, though, and he may be in that stage of his career where he's losing power.
Oh, yeah.
You know, OBP alone does not a fantasy stud make, so... Trying to think off the top of my head where we would draft Joey Votto if the season ended today. And I feel like it might not be in the first 5 rounds.
Wow. So I'd have to disagree with you in a points league because he's still the number 7 first baseman in points leagues.
Right. I don't think I could go earlier than 4, even in that format. I mean, you got to figure at least a dozen pitchers are going before him, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because the stat that concerns me the most with Votto is batting average against lefties and how he struggled against lefties. But I really just rewind a few months and saying the same thing about Matt Carpenter because he was struggling against lefties. And
sure.
I thought that was a sign of aging.
You know, I haven't really bothered to look at Joey Votto's batted ball profile this year.
Go for it.
Because he's Joey Votto and you don't really waste a lot of time thinking about him.
Scott,
but,
Scott, why don't you? What's up with the no vibrate on the cell phone? you don't like the vibrate function. It's very useful.
I mean, I could just silence it, right? That would be the considerate thing to do.
Either way,
you've called me out on it.
Yeah.
Oh man, Joey Votto's line drive rate is like the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's Matt Carpenter.
But no, the fly ball. Matt Carpenter had a great fly ball rate too, and Votto. Votto's is one of the worst he's ever had.
Interesting.
Hardly any soft contact. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not ready to write him off completely, but what I was saying about 4th round next year may still apply.
Okay. All right. Well, also, the SeatGeek app. That's a very natural transition. The SeatGeek app is more reliable than Joey Votto, I will tell you that much. And when you want to get a discount on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, buy some tickets, and use the code FANTASY. The code is FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Now, you know me. I tell the truth when I do these reads, and I use the SeatGeek app all the time. Whenever I need tickets, I'm not going to say I'm constantly looking for tickets, but when I'm going to an event, first place I go to is SeatGeek. It's often the only place I go to because I get great deals. I do remember last year, I went to a Knicks game with my friend. And we found basically very, very similar tickets, but a row or two apart on SeatGeek and on a different website. The SeatGeek tickets were about $10 cheaper per seat. And then I gave him the code, FANTASY, and he got $20 off. Cheaper tickets to begin with, and then the $20 discount. That's why we love SeatGeek. It searches multiple sites. It finds the best deals. It shows you very clearly where the best value is. And you get the discount. FANTASY is the code. You get $20 off. And every ticket is fully guaranteed. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Scott, the most frustrating starting pitcher is at it again. Rick Porcello. His last 6 starts, 2 innings, 8 runs. 6 innings, no runs. 5 2/3, 4 runs. 9 innings, 1 run. 4 innings, 7 runs. 7 innings, 1 run. Rick Porcello. Wow, that's his alter ego. But Rick Porcello, will he have one good and one bad start next week, or will he have two good ones?
I mean, you start him, and you don't stress about it that much. I'm glad I didn't bench him after that awful start against the Blue Jays, who, you know, they're responsible for the two really bad starts. Four earned runs in 5 2/3 innings. I mean, yeah, it's not a good start, but it's not the kind of start that would question what direction Rick Porcello's taking, you know? So it's really just those two Blue Jays starts that may have given you some cause for concern. And, yeah, I mean, like I said last time, maybe the Blue Jays just have his number. They're seeing something. I don't know.
And where do you think he ranks among starting pitchers this year?
Like, is this quizzing me? You're quizzing me where he is?
Yeah.
Rick Porcello is 24th.
No, wrong. He's 13th in points. He's 16th in roto.
Okay.
Good year
there
for
you
Rick
go.
Porcello.
Even more reason. I mean, 15-5 record.
15-5 helps. 15-5 helps. All right. As you've noticed, it's a bit of a, I don't know, scatterbrain show, just kind of a lot of different things. So we've talked about Votto, Porcello, those rookie catchers. We talked about all those news and notes items, a little bit of bullpen, Willy Adames, Jalen Beeks. Now let's talk about Miguel Sano. Here's your quote of the day. Quote, I think he's been real close to clicking on some balls. My observation is that the swings and misses are a lot less frequent. His chases out of the zone are a lot more rare. That is Twins manager Paul Molitor on Miguel Sano. Are you seeing enough from Sano, who's batting 282, 364, 487 in August? Are you seeing enough to justify a 65% ownership?
No, I'm not. And I think definitely in a points league, I would rather have Johan Camargo.
Oh.
Which, you know, it seems like I'm pulling that out of the blue. That was something I made reference to in a waiver wire column earlier this week. Like, guys like Johan Camargo, talking specifically for a points league, guys like Johan Camargo, Wilmer Flores, they're boring, low-ceiling players, but they're also very high floor when they're getting the playing time they are now. And I think that's how you want to pad your lineup this time of year.
Camargo, 49% owned. Last 28 days, he's the number 8 third baseman in points, number 9 in roto. He's batting .315. Now, I am noticing, though, Scott, with Camargo in this 28-day stretch where he's been very good, 3 walks, 18 strikeouts. That's kind of unusual for him, right?
Well,
or no? Why
it certainly wasn't last year. I mean, last year he had poor plate discipline, so he walked a lot at the start of this year. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to stick.
So why is he a high floor player? Why is he high floor, Camargo?
Because he makes a lot of contact.
Ah,
both he and Flores, and they, you know, they're not slap hitters. They're not power hitters, but they have extra base pop. And you know, if they got 600 bats, I'm sure, they probably would hit 20 homers in this environment.
All right, so you're not buying it with Sano. He's 65% owned. You'd rather have Camargo, who has 9 doubles and 4 home runs in his last 28 days. Here are some crazy stats, baseball fans. Oakland is 1 game out of first place in the AL West, and the Astros have lost 9 straight home games. That's crazy. I'm going to ask you, Scott, what's the craziest stat when I give all of them? Patrick Corbin has made 10 starts without allowing a home run. That ties him with Chris Sale for the longest active streak in baseball. Yadier Molina has played in 22 straight games, the most by a catcher 35 years or older in Major League history. The Red Sox have already tied the amount of home runs they hit last year. They were last in the American League with 168. They have 168 this year. And Ronald Acuna has hit a leadoff homer in his third straight game. He has become the youngest player ever to homer in 5 straight games, and he has 8 home runs in his last 8 straight games. What's the craziest stat?
Well, you made it easy with the last one. That's Acuna is clearly the craziest.
I think Molina is the craziest.
Okay. I mean, I was leaning that way.
Molina.
I also think it's crazy that You know, obviously the Astros have a lot of injuries right now, but there isn't much doubt in my mind they're, I know they don't have the best record, but there isn't much doubt in my mind they're the best team in the majors.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm not kidding you.
The Red Sox could set the wins record.
I understand.
I don't have a problem with you calling the Astros the best, but you're not even considering the Red Sox?
There's little doubt in my mind that the Astros, when healthy, are the best team in the majors. Their pitching staff is ridiculous, and obviously they have plenty of offense too. So, yeah. I would say, let me think about this for a second. They have a better bullpen than the Red Sox too, right? And Red Sox bullpen's nothing special.
Is
it?
I think it's better than we might think. Like guys, I think like Matt Barnes
is having a really good year.
Yeah, Kimbrel, Joe Kelly, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
They have a
probably
bit
shouldn't
of a,
say it if I don't know.
Well,
it.
They have a bit of a nondescript bullpen.
But yeah, let's talk about Acuña.
Okay. Do you want me to lead you into Acuña?
I was pausing for dramatic effect.
Oh,
I don't really know exactly what to say about Acuña. Obviously, this is historic. In this 7-day stretch where he's homered 8 times, he may have emerged as the rookie of the year front runner, which is amazing to think because Juan Soto is having this historic year. And ultimately, like, I believe what Soto's been doing more. He has basically been the same guy since he set foot in the majors, and that's, you know, arguably a top 15 hitter in all the majors. But Acuña has the higher WAR now. He's nearly caught up to him in OPS. Much better defender. Not that it matters for fantasy purposes. I guess what I'd caution about Acuña, and this is understanding, you know, he was one of the most hyped prospects we've seen in a long time coming into the year. We don't really know where the ceiling goes for him, but his production this year is mostly built on the home runs. And the way it looks now, because he's coming off this unprecedented stretch, it kind of everything's inflated, including the fact he's hitting 288. I mean, he doesn't profile as a 288 hitter if he continues to strike out like he has, if he has, you know, the modest line drive rate he has. That's not who he's going to be. And while he's been better at stealing bases since moving to the leadoff spot, he's not a guy who's profiling for a 30 steal season. You know, he's going to be a pretty good base stealer. I don't think a great one. So, when the home run rate inevitably slows, I think Juan Soto is going to distance himself again. But we're probably talking a top 20 outfielder, at least for Acuña.
Well, we got an email from James in Tallahassee. It's our email of the day. And I wanted to get to a lot of emails today. I don't think we will. But tomorrow, we'll do the Thurriometer Thursday. We'll get the Worryometer out. And we'll do a mailbag because we're getting a ton of emails. It's a stretch run. I want to help a lot of people. That'll be tomorrow. But right now, James in Tallahassee is calling us out for agreeing that Acuña was better than Soto yesterday. I don't remember.
Oh, really?
I don't remember exactly what we said. I think maybe in a dynasty perspective, we were saying Acuña and Roto. I don't remember exactly. I don't remember it being that one-sided. But.
Man, this is a hot button issue right now because I'm being eaten by my own kind on Twitter. Braves fans have totally turned on me because I had the nerve to say 3 home runs ago for Acuña, by the way. I had the nerve to say, while he's not Soto, Ronald Acuña is clearly living up to the hype now. And that became a referendum on Acuña somehow because I said, well, he's not Soto. I mean, I thought I was just stating the obvious. Soto, like I said, you know, is having this historic season for a rookie. I mean, in recent memory, there's Pujols, there's Trout, there's Aaron Judge just last year. And then I feel like there's Soto in terms of what – and Soto's doing it at 19, you know?
Right. Well, I just did a Twitter poll just now. In a dynasty league, who would you rather have, Juan Soto or Ronald Acuña? We'll monitor the votes. But this
I'm sure Acuña will win. There have been several polls online that I've seen who's rookie of the year today, which isn't even, you know, as long term which you would think Soto would have even a bigger advantage for. And Acuna's run away with all these polls. So clearly, Acuna being in the headlines so much right now.
Yeah, I want to really get to what James said. It was a great email.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, it was a very long email, but to sum it up, you look at the batted ball data. Juan Soto's hard contact rate is 35%. Acuna's is 44.6%. Juan Soto, he's got a 53% ground ball rate and a 29.8% fly ball rate. Acuna is basically 1-to-1. You have 42% ground ball, 41% fly ball. Home run to fly ball ratio for Soto and Acuna is almost exactly the same, about 25%, but so many more fly balls for Acuna. Line drive rate, 17.2% for Soto, 17.4% for Acuna. But there are, I think James laid it out, there are underlying statistics that would say Acuna is actually a better hitter. Ex Wobicon, I guess is a stat. 499 for Acuna, 423 for Soto.
Here's how I'd sum it up. Because if I was on yesterday's podcast, I would have said Soto easily. And it's no knock on Acuna. My gosh, how many times have I hyped Acuna this year? There are basically no concerns for me about Soto as a hitter. With a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, as a 19-year-old in his first look at the majors, that is jaw-dropping. And the fact that he's a left-handed hitter who's been even better against lefties and righties. Like, how is this going to go wrong for Soto, right? I can certainly envision a scenario where it ends up going righter for Acuna, but I think if you stick with Soto, there's no way you can mess that up.
The ground ball rate is very high, though. 53%.
Eh.
Okay. And, he's not condemned to being that the rest of his career, but I didn't.
Right,
I didn't.
And then obviously, how much has it hurt him, really?
Yeah, I didn't notice it until this email. So, all right, in the bullpen, Michael Givens got this is a really crappy segment. Michael Givens got another save for Baltimore. Trevor Hildenberger got another save for Minnesota. I'm talking about the bullpen segment, not the Acuna segment. Xavier Cedeño got a save for the White Sox. Jordan Hicks got a save for the Cardinals, which is interesting, but Bud Norris had pitched each of the previous 2 days. Ken Giles remains perfect in save chances. He's 43% owned, and he got his 14th save. Would you rather have Giles or Coda Glover?
I would rather have Giles.
Kenta Maeda pitched in a tie game in the 9th inning at home. That's what closers do. And he gave up 3 hits and a run, and he took the loss. And Scott, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Will Smith's going to keep the job when Hunter Strickland's back.
I hope you're right. I think you'll be right, but I'm not as confident as you sound.
Scott, have you ever been an MLB manager?
I never have, no.
Well, now you get the chance. New segment called Managing Milwaukee. Let's take a look at Jonathan Scope, Mike Moustakas, and Travis Shaw. Recently. Jonathan Scope has sat 3 of the last 6 games. And in his last 14 days, he is batting 150 with 1 extra base hit, 1 walk, and 17 strikeouts. Scope has been terrible. Mike Moustakas has started 7 of the last 8 games, including the last 2 against lefties. Before that, he did sit 3 of 4 times against lefties. And Travis Shaw has sat 2 in a row against lefties. But when he's been in the lineup, Travis Shaw has hit very well. You are now Craig Counsell. How is this going to play out rest of season?
So I don't actually get to think for myself. I have to think like Craig Counsell.
Yeah.
I lowered both Shaw and Moustakas in my rankings. I lowered Scope too, though that was as much performance related as playing time related. I think it's going to continue to play out exactly like it has. They all rob at bats from each other, and they're all pretty fringy in mixed leagues. Scope may be a little less than fringy. As a result, what I would do if I was counsel is just say, forget defense, just because I don't like defense. And I'd put Scope at shortstop and Shaw at second. But you can certainly understand why he wouldn't want to do that full time.
Hey, Skip, all your pitchers are very angry at you. You owe them an explanation. Would you rather have Yoan Camargo ahead of Moustakas or Travis Shaw?
Yoan Camargo. No, I want to go that far.
Yeah, you can't quite do that. Hey, real quick, Trevor Story or Xander Bogaerts?
Trevor Story.
Trevor Story is now hitting .267 with a .445 slugging percentage on the road. Very respectable. Hey, real quick, Jesus Aguilar or Anthony Rizzo?
Rizzo. Though it's comforting to see that Aguilar hasn't gotten mixed up in this playing time crunch as much as maybe people feared. He seems to be the safest of the infielders in terms of how much he plays.
That was a real quick edition of Hey Real Quick. Who are you going to draft ahead next year, Story or Bogaerts?
Story.
Yeah, okay. Rank them. Let's talk about these starting pitchers. Rank them. This guy's going to be last. Gio Gonzalez. Maybe we can just take him off the list. Gio Gonzalez is 91% owned, Scott.
Past 12 starts, 35 walks to 41 strikeouts.
So do you trust him against Miami? Because he's had very few good starts, but one of them was against Miami just a few starts ago. 7 innings, 1 run. He will be against the Marlins this weekend. Gio.
I mean, you can make a case to start anybody against Miami. Is that something I'm eager to do? No.
All right, then rank these guys. Jameson Taillon, Alex Wood, Anibal Sanchez, Jose Quintana, and J-Hap. Taillon, Wood, Anibal Sanchez, Quintana, and Hap.
I will go J-Hap, number one, followed by Taillon, Quintana, Wood, Anibal.
Pretty surprised to wait a second. Hap one, Taillon two.
Mm-hmm.
Then Quintana?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Trying to remember.
I'm very surprised by this list.
What surprises you?
I thought Taillon would be one. I thought Hap would be three or four. I knew Sanchez would be last.
I mean, Hap is clearly a better strikeout pitcher than Taillon. Clearly a lot more win potential than Taillon. And I think a safer bet to go 7 innings.
Well, that I'd have to agree with for sure. And yeah, I have to agree with all three of those points.
So why would you rank him behind Taillon?
Well, I think Tyone's going to be better at keeping runs off the board.
He has been slightly better than Hap at that this year.
I would expect the gap to be bigger going forward.
Okay, we'll see.
But not much. And I really like Alex Wood. He just, they don't let him go more than 6 innings. Ever.
Which they don't let Quintana much either.
Oh, I'm not sure how much we can trust Quintana. I mean, he's got a 138 whip. He's got the home run problem again, 20 homers in 125 innings.
Right.
Yeah.
I could be talked into Wood ahead of Quintana. That's the one thing I could be talked into changing. I do think Wood is a safer start at this point in the season than Quintana. I just don't know that he's as reliable a part of his team's rotation.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could always move people around in the Dodgers rotation. Wood, though, like, you're basically getting 6 innings, 2 runs.
Yeah. He's
steady.
Unspectacular, but very, like, he's, you don't really worry about him crushing your ratios.
Couple hitters who are trending up recently, Justin Turner. 3 doubles yesterday. He's batting .436 in August with 3 walks, 5 strikeouts, 6 doubles, a triple, and 2 homers. Justin Turner looks like a must start right now. And Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun is 76% owned, Scott. He homered twice yesterday. He usually sits once every 3 or 4 games.
Yep.
But do you trust Braun when he's in the lineup? Because I really think, you know, before this hot stretch, he wasn't even that good of a hitter. It wasn't even like, well, he's not playing that much. He just wasn't doing anything.
No. It's true. And he's always managed to make good on a low fly ball rate. Obviously, he's been a home run hitter throughout his career, but that's begun to right itself in recent seasons. I guess, you know, he loses a little bit of that strength as he gets older. And it's seeming to have the biggest effect this year.
Ryan Braun. So 76% owned. Is he someone you'd want on your team?
No, that seems drastically overowned, quite frankly. definitely feel like the name value is carrying him there. I mean, just on by virtue of him sitting every third game.
Right, right. Would you rather have Avi Garcia or Braun?
I would rather have Garcia.
Would you rather have Malik Smith or Braun?
Smith.
Okay. A few players who are trending down right now. Gregory Polanco is batting 119 with no homers, no steals in August. 4 walks, 17 strikeouts. Very disappointing.
Come on, Greg.
I know. Keep the breakout going, dude. And then, no, I don't think you're dropping Polanco, but I do wonder about dropping Odubel Herrera. Not saying he's a must drop, but I think Odubel Herrera is a can drop. In mid-June, he had homered in 4 straight games. Or I think 5 straight games. Since then, he's batting 206 with a 611 OPS.
Yeah.
He's about a 30th overall outfielder without missing time, really. He's played 112 games. He seems like extremely fringy to me, Odubel Herrera.
I mean, in a 3-outfielder league, you almost have to play the hot hand to an extent. There's just so many players who are cycling in and out of usability. I think in the long run, Odubel Herrera is still a top 30 outfielder. But, you know, let's just say if you dropped him, it's not the last time he'll be owned in your league this year.
And we talked about Tim Anderson. He's been trending down. Jake Bowers is also trending down. Jake Bowers is batting 118 in his last 11 games, Scott, with a 426 OPS thanks to a good OBP. 7 walks in those 11 games. Did we overhype Jake Bowers, or is he still, you know, still worth owning in 65% of leagues, which is where he's at right now?
I still think he's worth owning in that number of leagues. Yeah, the strikeouts have been kind of disappointing, I gotta say. That's helped drag down that batting average, and in the long run, he's going to need to do that less. But I've been encouraged by the power he's shown, and he's a guy who walks a lot.
And he runs, too. Last 11 games, batting 118, he's got only 1 steal, but in 4 attempts. So,
I mean, still a great line drive rate and a fairly low fly ball rate, so he should be a high BABIP guy. Right now, his BABIP's 270.
All right, Scott, fringy starting pitchers. I'll let you go after this, and then I'll finish up, and I'll talk about today's matchups. All right, who do you want here, if anyone? Mike Fiers? He's just been really good lately. Jaime Barilla, Ryan Barucki, Lucas Giolito. Fiers, Barilla, Barucki, Giolito.
I think Fiers I want the most, and I don't want him that much.
Right. Texas and at Minnesota next week for Fiers.
Oh, 2 starts?
Yeah.
And it's in Oakland, that Texas start. Yeah, he's going to be among the 2 start sleepers.
Okay. 55% owned. Maybe get ahead of your league and go ahead and pick up Mike Fiers. Scott has to run. I don't. I will walk, jog back to you and talk about today's matchup. Scott, thank you very much.
All right, Adam. See ya.
So let's take a look at today's matchups. And by the way, we should probably just mention Freddy Galvis's name. He is red hot. He's homered in 3 straight games, 5 times in August. Personally, I'm not really interested. He's 10% owned, but if he does something today, I will ask Scott about Freddy Galvis tomorrow. All right, we got some early games. You might be hearing this after they start, but I think everybody's going to start both Chris Archer and Jose Berríos. Going to start Carlos Rodon at Detroit. And do we trust Jordan Zimmermann against the White Sox? The White Sox strike out so much. I'm going to check his game log right now to see. Well, the last 2 starts have been fine for Zimmermann, but specifically how he's done against Chicago. Pretty bad this year in 2 starts. So I'm going to just go ahead and play it safe and not start Jordan Zimmermann. I don't really trust him regardless of the matchups. This is a really interesting one. Junior Guerra at Kyle Hendricks. I think that Hendricks should be started. I think he's been, for the most part, not destroying you lately. And the Cubs lineup has been kind of cold. You know, they were getting shut out before Bodie's Grand Slam. Of course, that was against Max Scherzer. They got shut down by Chacin yesterday. I'm having trouble committing to this. I'm going to start Junior Guerra. There is one split that I want to look into, though. 4.97 ERA on the road. Let's sit Junior Guerra. All right, we'll start Hendricks and we'll sit Guerra. Mariners at the A's. Mike Leake at Brett Anderson. Yeah, I'm nervous about Leake. I know he's been pitching well lately. The park is good for him, but the A's have been so good. They're the hottest team in baseball, them and the Red Sox. Leake is coming off five straight quality starts, including one at Colorado, including one at Houston. So how do you not start Mike Leake? I think that's fair. I think you can start him. I will not call him a must start, but he's fine. But yeah, I'm always a little nervous because Leake is just so streaky. Jake Faria at Luis Sessa. I will start neither of them. Red Sox at Phillies. Eovaldi at Velasquez. I'm going to start Eovaldi. I think I'm going to give Velasquez a try. I wouldn't do it in Fenway Park, but has he warranted it? It's, again, borderline. He's right up there with Mike Leake. I don't think Velasquez is a must start, but I would say start. Going to start Zach Wheeler at Baltimore, and yeah, I'll start Dylan Bundy. Man, there are some tough calls today. I wish the guys were on. It's a tough day for me to be giving this advice. You know what? I just don't really trust Dylan Bundy when it's all said and done. He gave up 7 runs in his last outing. He's given up 5 or more runs in 4 of his last 6. I know it's the Mets, but yeah, I'm going to sit Bundy. I'm going to start Wheeler. Indians at Reds. I'm going to start Bieber, sit Stevenson. Going to sit Jose Urania, and Kevin Gausman is actually starting tonight, so that's the start against the Marlins, and I will be starting him. Tyler Anderson at Gerrit Cole, and I will start both of them. Marco Estrada is at, Jorge Lopez, and I will sit both of them. Nationals at Cardinals, Jeremy Hellickson, you're probably not going to get a quality start. He doesn't go deep into games. And Austin Gomber, yeah, he's tough. I'm going to put him behind Mike Leake. I'm going to say sit Gomber. I don't think he's really earned it. He was good last time out. We've got Felix Pena and Robbie Erlin. I'm going to sit both of them. And Derek Holland at Hyunjin Ryu. So Ryu, first start off the DL, always dicey. Otherwise, I'd say start him. Yeah, I would say I'm about 60% confident in Ryu. And you might want to pick him up because Ryu was pitching really well. He had a 2.12 ERA and a 0.88 whip. So it might be too late, but if it's not 62% owned, you know what? I'm confident enough to start him. I have a feeling he'll be on a pitch count. So I don't think he's a great start, but I think Ryu will do well while he pitches. And Holland, coming off a bad start, I have lost some faith because nobody really bought it when he was pitching very well. Gave up 10 hits and 4 runs against Pittsburgh. I'm going to approach it cautiously and say sit him. We know Machado and Dozier should make the Dodgers better against lefties. So I think you sit Derek Holland and you nervously start Hyunjin Ryu knowing you might only get 5 innings. That's it for today's show. Big mailbag show yesterday. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. For Scott White, I am Adam Azer. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Oh, this is Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Psych.